ที่เราชาวจากนั้นพูดเรื่องคิดใจกังกมีคิดใจจมูกมีคิดใจบักทีเดวีคิดใจสมัติทศมหารานีคิดใจสามวิถีบักทีมันคิดใจ going back to home back to Godhead คิดใจ is gone Los Angeles ยัตระคิดใจบริหารบดังกับ Transcendental Book Distribution คิดใจ International Food for Life Transcendental Prasadam Distribution คิดใจที่หายนามสักการ์ตันคิดใจนิทัยโอพรีมันนี่ฮาริฮาริบอกAll glories to the assembly of OTs. All glories to the assembly of OTs. All glories to the assembly of OTs. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Guru Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is a translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu apadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable pact. Before we start, maybe somebody can make sure the windows are open upstairs. One of the best ways to keep this virus at bay is to have nice flow of air. In the morning, obviously, we keep the doors and windows closed because we don't want to disturb the neighbors. But at this time, we can open everything and let the air flow freely. So somebody should check on those windows upstairs. Okay, we're continuing reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text number 5. Alright, that's 5. Yeah. Deshataha kalato yosav avastataha satonyataha avilupta-vabodhatma sa Yujeta Jaya Katam Deshata Kalato Yosav Abastatak Svatonyataha Abhinupta Vabodhatma Sa Yujeta Jaya Katam Deshata Kalato Yosav Avastatak svatonyataha avilupta-vabhodhatma sayujeta-jayakatam deshatak-kalato-yosav avastatak svatonyataha avilupta-vabhodhatma Sayujeta Jayakatam. Please chant. Sayujeta Jayakatam. Stakalato yosa avasatak svatonyataha avilutavavodatma sayujeta jayakatam. Thank you. Shatakalato Yosa Avasata Stonyata Abilupta Bodhatma Chayojeta Jayakatam Shatakalato Yosa. Bhakta Emil. Deshatakala Toyosa. Avasatak Svatonyata. Aviluptava Bodhatma. Sayujeta Jayakatam Vaishnavis. Deshatakalato Yosav. Avasatak Svatonyataha. Aviluptava Bodhatma. Sayujeta Jayakatam. So, word meanings. Deshataha, circumstantial. Kalataha, by the influence of time. Yaha, one who. Aso, the living entity. Avastataha, by situation. Swataha, by dream. Anyataha, by others. Avilupta, extinct. Avabodha, consciousness. Atma, pure self. Saha, he. Yujeta, engaged. Ajaya, with nescience. Katam, how is it so? Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, the pure soul is pure consciousness and is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, time, situations, dreams, or other causes. How then does he become engaged in nescience? Please repeat. The pure soul is pure consciousness and is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, time, situations, dreams, or other causes. How then does he become engaged in nescience? Srila Prabhupada's purport. The consciousness of the living being is always present and never changes under any circumstances as above mentioned. When a living man moves from one place to another, he is conscious that he has changed his position. He is always present in the past, present, and future, like electricity. One can remember incidents from his past and can conjecture about his future also on the basis of past experience. He never forgets his personal identity, even though he is placed in awkward circumstances. How then can the living entity become forgetful of his real identity as pure spiritual soul and identify with matter unless influenced by something beyond himself? The conclusion is that the living entity is influenced by the avidya potency as confirmed in both the Vishnu Purana and the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The living entity is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 5, as Paraprakriti. And in the Vishnu Purana, he's mentioned as the Parashakti. He is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, as potency and not as the potent. The potent can exhibit many potencies, but the potency cannot equal the potent at any stage. One potency may be overcome by another potency, but to the potent, all potencies are under control. The jiva potency or the chaitanya shakti of the Lord has the tendency to be overpowered by the external potency, avidya karma sangya. And in this way, he is placed in the awkward circumstances of material existence. The living entity cannot be forgetful of his real identity unless influenced by the avidya potency. Because the living entity is prone to the influence of the avidya potency, he can never equal the supreme potent. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarini Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishyavakshya Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what is the subject of today's verse? Consciousness, exactly. And this consciousness, which we cannot deny, we're all conscious, we're conscious of each other, we're conscious of the weather, we're conscious of our existential circumstances in terms of at least our bodily existence and our mental state. But although this consciousness is supremely prominent and supremely important, it cannot be explained by moderns, the very puffed up modern scientists who think they can explain everything. They cannot explain succinctly, clearly, what is consciousness. They're still debating. So here we are, conscious living entities who have descended from other conscious living entities, or at least taken birth from other conscious living entities, and we can't explain consciousness. What is the difference between unconscious matter and conscious matter? Because they think we're material. They think we are these bodies that are obviously material, combination of material elements. We would say generally earth, water, fire, ether on the gross side. But they would say carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, etc. But whatever, any way you look at it, it's a combination of gross elements, this material body. How is it that gross elements become conscious? This is the question. And we should not let them off the hook. See, they let themselves off the hook. We can't explain consciousness. We're conscious and we're trying to explain other things to you. But we can't talk about consciousness right now. But Prabhupada wouldn't let them off the hook. Would not let them off the hook. He said their science is a science of probably, maybe, perhaps, I think. You know, Prabhupada had discussions about different scientific thoughts, ways of thinking that the materialists have put forward. And Prabhupada pointed out that they're always saying probably, maybe, I think, perhaps. So that's not science. That's not science. If you notice, in every scientific field, biology, zoology, there's always that logi prefix, suffix, the last, the end of the word, L-O-G-Y, logi. So logi in Greek means science, something that you know, definite, not something that you're trying to figure out. But they're always presenting their so-called science in these terms. We think, maybe, perhaps, our Sariputta made big fun of them, that they say, we used to think, but now we know. We used to think there was no life at the bottom of the ocean, which is a fact. When I was a student in elementary school, at least, they used to say like that. There's no life at the bottom of the ocean. It can't exist because it's too, pressure is too great, it's too cold, etc., etc. But so they say, we used to think, but now we know. because we've sent some submersibles down there. We can see that there are different life forms on the ocean bottom, on the ocean floor. But he said, no, 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 no. They should say the opposite. We used to know, but now we think. You see? Because they present everything like they actually know it, like it's actual fact. Undebatable. So they're presenting this picture of gross material evolution, that simple life forms gradually transform into more complex life forms. But they have not proven it. And we should not let them off the hook. Even if we give them the starting point of consciousness, which they can't explain. Okay, you can't explain consciousness. But you're saying that some simple conscious living entities gradually transform into more complex living creatures. And we are the pinnacle of that evolutionary process, human beings. We say no. We say no, it cannot happen. There's so many technical ways to explain that it can't happen. For instance, there are many living entities that have sensory apparatus that can sense electrical fields in the atmosphere, either on land or in the water. For instance, in the water, crocodiles. They have, if you look at their skin, they have little dots you can see all around the mouth area. And those little dots are sensory apparatus that can sense electrical fields in the water. Sharks also have it. How does a creature that doesn't have those organs evolve into something that has those organs? Ask them to explain that. If you still believe in evolution, you ask them to explain that. How you don't have that, right? You're a little creature. You don't have that. What do? You wake up one day and think, you know, it would be really great if I could sense electrical fields in the water. That way, even when the water is murky, I can find my prey. So let's say you're a creature like that and you have such a thought. How do you start getting those sensory organs? One little dot appears and it doesn't do anything. And then, you know, you really, really strain mentally and then it starts to do something and then another dot appears. How does it happen? Let them explain. How do you go from a creature that doesn't have such a sophisticated sensory equipment to someone that does? We'll wait in the end. They can't explain that. They cannot explain it. They have not explained it. As I've said in many classes in the past, when you nail them on this evolutionary presentation, they talk about the Galapagos finches. Most of you probably heard. They conjecture that a bunch of normal finches got blown off course and wound up on the Galapagos Islands, which are way out in the Pacific, practically in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And then they say over time, see, they've diversified. They all arrive looking the same, but over hundreds of years, thousands of years maybe, their beaks changed. Some of them had beaks that went like this, and some of them had beaks that were longer, some were shorter, based on the food they can find on the islands that they were on. So what do you see? They evolved. They changed. But they didn't change into eagles. They didn't change into cats or dogs. They remained finches. So what have you proven? If by environmental pressure a beak changes, it doesn't show that a bird can change into a man. It doesn't show that. And they didn't develop electrical sensors along their beaks. So Prophet wanted us to at least, for those who are conscious and thoughtful, put some doubt in their minds about this evolutionary process that's being presented still to this day in every science classroom. Because as long as we remain attached to this viewpoint, we are reluctant to surrender to the Vedic viewpoint. So the Vedic viewpoint is summarized very nicely here. Prabhupada references that verse from the Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta. So this is the first category. Lord Vishnu or Krishna has three basic categories of energies. There are unlimited energies, but they're classified into three. So the first one is the spiritual energy. Spiritual energy means it never transforms into matter. Never transforms into matter. It's always existing and it's always perfect. That is the spiritual energy. Satchidananda Vigraha. It has form, it's eternal, and it's conscious and happy. full of bliss. Then the second category, Chaitra-gya, that's us. Chaitra means the field of activity. Gya means knower. And Krishna discusses that in the 13th chapter. Chaitra-gya chapimam vidhi, sarva chaitra tubharata. So the Chaitra-gya, the living entities, also, tatapara, Chaitra-gya, we are also para. We are also belonging to that spiritual energy. So how do we wind up in this situation? Abhidya karma sangyakya. We are covered temporarily, but for a very long time, by this abhidya karma. Prabhupada talks about it in his purport. Abhidya. Not vidya. A means not. Vidya means knowledge. So this abhidya potency covers our consciousness so that we think ourselves to be products of matter. We treat even ourselves like that, what to speak of others. We see individual manifestations as products of matter. We see black bodies, brown bodies, white bodies, yellow bodies, and we treat everybody as a body. But when that soul leaves the body, because we accept that chaitra-gya, that individual soul is in that body. When that individual soul leaves the body, then we get some indication. That body is not the person. Just like recently, one of our families in the community, one of the sons died, car accident. So I was talking to them, and I mentioned to them that what really started me on my spiritual search, as a child, I saw somebody get killed by a bus. So here was this guy. I think he even got off the same bus. I don't remember, maybe, but he walked into the street, got slammed by the bus. And even as a child, I could see something left that body. That body was animate. It was moving, walking a second ago, and now it got flattened, and something is gone. The body's there, but you could, even as a child, I can understand something has gone. Something that was present in that body a few seconds ago is now gone. What is that something? So that's what the Vedic presentation is all about. There's a soul, wherever you see life, and the symptoms of life are birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling, and death. So wherever you see that process going on, a soul is there, whether it's in a plant body, tree body, human body, animal body, wherever you see those processes taking place, there's a soul there. And that soul, individual soul, deserves or has the right to live a natural life and die a natural death. And if you interrupt that cycle in any way, either at the birth stage or the growth stage, you interrupt that cycle, then you're culpable. You're culpable. You're liable to be punished. Because every individual soul has a right, again, to live a natural life and die a natural death, just like we do. We don't want anybody interrupting our life cycle. We are coming out gradually by being exposed to this Vedic knowledge and being exposed to the bhakti yoga lifestyle, we are coming out gradually from this darkness of avidya. We're starting to see properly that Bhrigupati is not his body. Bhakti and Linda is not her body. These bodies are just vehicles that we've been given to make spiritual progress. The human body is meant only for that purpose, to make spiritual progress. The shark, the cat, the dog, the tree, they cannot make spiritual progress like the human body can. They can if they're given special mercy, just like Lord Chaitanya was chewing coconut pulp and throwing to a dog, and that dog was eating the pulp and showing symptoms of ecstasy. And then one day the dog was gone, and it was stated that that dog went directly back to Godhead. But generally this doesn't happen. Cats, dogs don't go back to Godhead. They're given a chance to again become human beings and take to this process. So we have that chance. We should take care of the body naturally, but it's a vehicle for getting us back to home, back to Godhead. We have other vehicles, like we use with four wheels for driving here and there, going on Sankirtan, whatever. And we have some attachment to them. We don't want them to be harmed. Like many times, you know, crazy people, they'll go by a car and they'll just scratch it just out of madness or envy. So we don't want our vehicles, our dead vehicles, to be harmed. or what to speak of taken, just like recently, unfortunately, we had that incident in our community where two grossly foolish individuals came along and took Mayuri Rada's car. The security video shows two young black males came down the alleyway and they made a right on here. So obviously it was not premeditated. It's not like they made a beeline for her car. They came down here, they walked along 16th Avenue, they passed the driveway, 3745, and then at that time, unfortunately, she came home and went in. So they turned around and came back. For a few seconds, they were hanging in front of Christian Amacharya's staircase that goes up to his second floor of his store. They hung there for a few seconds, and they came out and went down the driveway. At that time, because the camera's on the temple building over here, we couldn't see them after that. You can't see what they did. But then in a minute or so, she came running out the driveways, waving her arm. She was obviously screaming. Some of the devotees heard her. She ran into traffic. She was trying to stop people to help her. But they wouldn't stop. This is how human beings have degraded. 50 years ago, somebody would have stopped. Trust me. But now in Kali Yuga, we're so immune or inured to other people's suffering that somebody's trying to stop you to help them. You don't stop. They just kept going. If somebody had stopped, it would have blocked the driveway and they wouldn't have been able to get away. So they didn't stop. She ran across the street and within a minute, you could see the car come out. At that point, Ayatota comes running out of the ashram and tries to grab the car and they come around. The crazy people took off. So this is how degraded we become. The living entity, the pure soul, coming from the Vaikuntha world, completely happy, but by our own desire, we want to turn away from Krishna. We come here. And we degrade to the point where we want to steal somebody else's property. We want to kill somebody to take what they have. And this is not just isolated case, two bad guys from some bad part of Los Angeles. It happens on the highest levels of society. As I've mentioned before in another class, we have this country, Russia, the biggest country by land area in the world. They have so vast resources. Material resources, and yet they have to go to their next door neighbor and kill people to steal their land. Come on. Totally unconscious. And come up with so many excuses why it's okay to kill tens of thousands of people and take their land. So this is how degraded the living entity in contact with the Avidya Shakti can become. And it's a serious problem if we don't individually desire to get out of avidya, get out of ignorance, then we remain here, suffering and causing suffering to others. So it's an acute problem. We have to take it seriously. And if we take it seriously and apply these instructions to our own lives, then we can genuinely help others. Otherwise, if we don't take it seriously, we make some progress and then we slide down again. We've seen it maybe in our own practice and certainly in others who come, stay for a while, seem to be serious, but because they're not completely serious and surrendered, sincere as Prabhupada would say, then again, the avidya potency catches us. Because that's her job. The material energy personified, Maya Devi, her job is to convince us to stay here. Why do you want to get out? It's so nice. You can go to the beach. The sun is there. And so many nice things you can do. Chewing the chewed. Whatever proposal Maya comes up with, we should know in advance. We've done it before so many times, and we're still not happy. So it's not going to change. Trying to find happiness by following the same path of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is crazy. And we wake up sometimes. We do that. We wake up. We say, no, I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to get a 9-to-5. I don't want to just spend the rest of my life chasing after the dollar and trying to be happy. I don't want that. But if we don't completely surrender to Krishna, then Maya again convinces us that, yes, just get a few more dollars or just move from L.A. to Hawaii or move from Hawaii to Bora Bora or whatever. Change your location. Change the people you associate with and you will be happy. No. No. Those who are fortunate and intelligent, and this is another story I've told, but it's a fact that this one devotee from Norway, born into a very well-to-do family, but he was searching and couldn't find any answers. So he decided, if I don't find something that really satisfies me, gives me the answers to life, I'm just going to move to Tahiti and stay there the rest of my life. So he didn't find anything, and he was going to Tahiti. But he came through LAX, and he met a devotee. At that time, we were allowed to distribute in the airport. And he got a Bhagavad Gita. And on the flight from L.A. to Tahiti, he read that Bhagavad Gita. turned around, went back to Norway, became a devotee. So I met him in Oslo. That's where he told me the story. And just by asking him to describe the person who sold him the book, it was Vijay. So our book distribution is essential. This is Prabhupada's genius. Don't just take this process for yourself. Go out and give it to others. So book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, like last night we were on Venice Beach, chanting. And you could see the difference. Before we come along, people are just standing around watching some idiots performing some stupid act, which they just suck you in so they could either take your money or pickpocket your money or something. It's all about the money. They don't care about you, where you came from. So many tourists especially get sucked into these things, stand around like foolish people watching other foolish people do foolish things. So that's what's happening on Venice Beach until we come along. And as soon as the Harinam party comes, you can see people's faces light up. People become a little bit sane, a little bit curious. There was one young lady, I don't know if those who were there noticed. She was sitting on a chair on the sidewalk. It looked like a nasana. It looked like a vyasasana. It was such a big chair, upholstered chair. She's sitting there with a whole bunch of things in front of her. I don't know if she was trying to sell them or just showing them. But as we were approaching, I could see her. She was crazy. The girl was going like this. That's all she was doing, like that. But as soon as the party came, she straightened up and went like this. That's the importance of Krishna consciousness. Immediately, an insane person can become sane just by hearing for a few minutes this mantra. So book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, and then, of course, our grand festivals. That's why we went to Venice, to start getting people into this mood. So it's not just that crazy girl. So many others, the tourists, the people sitting in the bars drinking, they all take note. Hare Krishna, they wave, they're attracted. Not because we're so great chanters, but the holy name. The potency of the holy name. This is Lord Chaitanya's gift to everyone in Kali Yuga. You're living in a crazy age. You're probably yourself crazy, as Prabhupada said, that public servant in Calcutta who was asked to examine a guy to see if he was crazy because he said he killed somebody because he was crazy. So they said, okay, examine him. So his report to the judge was, Your Honor, I've been doing this kind of thing for decades, and as far as I'm concerned, everyone is more or less crazy. So if you want to let him off because of insanity, that's okay with me. Because in my opinion, everyone is more or less crazy. So this is what we've been tasked to do. Go out in the public full of crazy people. Give them the Maha Mantra. Give them the books. And put on big festivals to attract them. They come. They get a little prasadam. They see the stage program. They hear the chanting. They see Lord Jagannath. This is what it's all about. So coming this Sunday, we are getting into that process by having our Snanyatra. And then two weeks after that, Rathyatra. And everybody should get into it wholeheartedly. It's such an important event. Foolish people may think that we do this to make money. We probably don't make a cent. So us can tell you. You can see how much money is required. We haven't even raised enough to what we need. So it's not about making money. It's about compassionately giving everyone this Hare Krishna process, this Maha Mantra, Prasadam, the philosophy. But even if they can't understand the philosophy, Prabhupada said, you're so dull. That's all right. Come here and eat. And just by eating Krishna Prasadam, you will go back to Godhead. Just by eating. You're so dull, you can't understand philosophy. That's all right. We're not going to hold it against you. Just come here and eat. Come to the festival and eat. And you will go back to home, back to Godhead. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Oh, sorry, Brigham. You wanted to say something, right? No, they can't show that it turns simple life forms into complex life forms. They can't show that. How do these sophisticated organs come into being? It can't be a gradual process. You can't have a little spot that appears that doesn't work. That's what I'm saying? It has to be full-fledged. It has to be a full-fledged organ that does a full-fledged activity. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Nigga.
We didn't see it last night.